The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
To heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I got hairy legs, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, live here on the Financial Guys Radio Network. And thanks again for joining us. We certainly do appreciate it. Whether you're down in South Florida, out in Rochester, or right here in Western New York, we certainly appreciate you tuning in each and every week to hear Mike and I just rant sometimes. Today, we're going to take a little bit of different attack, I guess, slightly different. We've been talking, obviously, we've been talking a lot about COVID, talking a lot about the state. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the second hour, of course. We're going to talk about the differences in Florida versus New York, you know, when you look at the unemployment rates and things like that. We're also going to talk to, though, a friend of ours and a colleague of ours. If you listen to our podcast, you may have heard us mention this. Antonio Oliva has been a colleague and a friend for many, many, many years, and we work together in our Florida office when I'm down there, and Mike is down there. And Tony is originally born in Cuba. So we've had him on the podcast in the past, along with Gabriel Alfonso, who was a Venezuelan, I guess you call him refugee almost, right? I mean, you know, fled the country to get out as soon as they knew what was going on and figured it out.
The evil, the cancer of socialism.
Yeah, it's scary. So we're going to talk a lot about that today and, you know, talk about, you know, when you look at the Democrat convention versus the Republican convention, I mean, you could not have a more stark platform difference here.
We've been
saying
that for a while, right? The old school Democrats were go to work, work hard, but we want better wages, we want better working conditions. The new Democrats are all about giving away education, health care, and bigger government, which obviously is more socialism and really, in some cases, communism. I mean, you look at the state of New York now, and it is pure communism, right? Andrew Cuomo is telling you what you can eat, what you can drink, who's going to open their businesses, how you're going to operate, and he's destroying. He's destroying the city of the state. He's completely destroying the state. And it's amazing to me. There's still people out there supporting him. They love him.
He's on a book tour, Mike. Yeah. He's doing a book tour.
I ran into somebody the other day. They're like, well, I know you don't like Cuomo, but I really do. I'm like, what do you like about him? What? Let me know what you like about him, right? What is it that you like? Do you like that he forced COVID-positive patients back into nursing homes and killed them? Do you like the fact that 90% of the businesses in the service-oriented businesses, like restaurants, might not make it out of this? Is that what you like? Because I'm not. He kept us safe. How? He killed more people than we lost 30 something thousand people. I mean, add up Florida, Texas, California. We still beat them all.
You know, Mike, I was thinking the other day about way back at the end of March, right, when the lockdown first started, and we started to advocate very early on to say, okay, we've had our 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, let's start to talk about reopening.
Yep.
It's been 5 months,
yep,
almost to the day. It's been five full months. We're going to hear from a movie theater in the next next hour, I think. You're talking about a dictator now who arbitrarily is at a whim is deciding who gets to open, who gets to stay in business, who gets to shut back down. I mean, I said a long time ago, these folks are drunk on power, until we demand it and rip it back out of their hands.
Yep.
We're just going to lose freedom and liberty and freedom and liberty and freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
And we never get them back, folks.
Nope.
We never get them back. So those saying, well, I can't have my wedding, I'm only going to have 50 people. Hats off to the Hasidic Jewish folks in New York City. They've been having 200-person weddings all week. They're like, you know what? We're done. We're doing it.
Good for
you. Of course, de Blasio is sending down the Gestapo, right? He's sending down the...
I need to stand back up to those Gestapos.
I mean,
right? That's what
needs
to happen.
Look, if that's their choice to go to church and have a celebration, if that's their choice, if they have to quarantine for... Most these folks would say, look, it, I'll quarantine for 2 weeks before. I'll quarantine for 2 weeks after. Whatever.
Yeah.
But look, you can't. You're talking about taking away people's religious freedom here.
Yep.
We're talking about taking away people's ability to get together to get together in groups. Well, it's ridiculous.
But that's,
you know?
And I think that's where the conservatives are losing, because they continue to compromise with these folks, right? Like, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. No, stop. Stop. The death rate is less than the normal flu at this point. You never quarantine healthy people. You certainly don't quarantine them when you see the rates that we see right now, right? Cuomo is now distorting the CDC findings.
The whole time, I love that.
Dirtbag
believe
Andrews
the science,
said,
Mike.
Believe the science. I follow the science. The science. Well, now the science is saying, take the damn mask off and go back to living your life. He doesn't want to hear that. Now he says, well, the CDC is a tool for Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? So two months ago, by the way, Andrew, when it was absolutely 100% in your power-hungry favor to listen to the CDC, you said, follow the science. I'm watching the science. We can't overwhelm the healthcare system. I'm watching the science. Now the science is saying you can travel wherever the hell you want. Take the mask and shove them up your you know what, and start going back to living your life. And we're having parties. Guess what? If your immune system's compromised, if you feel sick, you stay at home. The healthy people, you go back on living your life. Mm-hmm.
It's been 5 months.
Yeah.
It's been 5 months. The thing is, when back at the end of March, April, and then, of course, May was when the memo surfaced that, you know, basically the health commissioner forcing people into nursing homes, right? Forcing nursing homes.
Signed off by Mr. Andrew Cuomo.
So they asked him that, right? They asked him that question, the media did. Somebody, I think, in Albany or Syracuse is a great female reporter, was doing a wonderful job on really asking some tough questions. They asked him that question, and he didn't have an answer. He said, well, it's just, I'm following the CDC. The CDC guidance said.
That's right.
That's what they
when
said.
When it fits into his rhetoric.
What the CDC guidance actually said, though, so he blamed it on the CDC, was, you know, hospitals should discharge patients to nursing homes only if the nursing homes have the ability to safely care for those people and quarantine them properly within that nursing home away from other residents, right?
Yeah.
So when that was brought up, Cuomo goes, well, he blamed the nursing home. Remember, it was a constant, I blame the CDC. And then it was, well, but here's what the CDC said. Well, the nursing home should have been prepared. So then he blamed the nursing homes, right? So now we're at a point where, well, I don't believe the CDC anymore. I'm not going to follow them at all.
It doesn't fit into his scare.
Ridiculous.
We're shut the economy down. I am just shocked at the amount of restaurant owners that are just following like sheep. I really am.
New York City's finished.
There's been a few gym owners that have stepped up and said, I'm opening up. No restaurant owners. I mean, how in the world, as a restaurant, and again, I hear, well, they're going to take my liquor license. You know what? They're taking your business.
They took it. Right.
They're taking it.
But in most cases, they took it. Right.
Yeah.
Amazing thing. You know, in this country, we have a couple of very crucial principles, right? I mean, the Constitution, you know, enshrines those principles. But one of those principles is, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, right?
Yep.
So they have to prove your guilt. When the only court in this country where that's not true is the tax court, right?
Yep.
You are guilty by just them saying so, whether it's the state tax authority or the IRS, you have to prove your innocence. Apparently, the other is the state liquor authority, Mike, because they come in, they accuse you of something, they take your liquor license, and then you have to go to a hearing to beg for it back.
Right.
Is Cuomo at that hearing sitting on a big throne with like a fur coat on,
another,
and a scepter,
another
and a,
useless
and a crown?
Agency, by the way? Should you know? Okay, what are we going to monitor people getting a liquor license to sell alcohol? Give me a break. You just go buy your Budweiser for $2 and be able to resell it to somebody for $4 because you're providing a service.
Regulated.
Yeah, everything is regulated. It's beyond out of control. But they're getting shut down. I mean, you restaurateurs, I don't know what you're thinking. And by the way, folks that get mad at me, they send all kinds of nasty messages. You're telling people to take the masks off. Yes, it's destroying the restaurant industry. Nobody wants to go out to a restaurant with a mask. Nobody wants to go out and social distance at a restaurant. That's not what we do that for. We go out to a restaurant to socialize. That's what it's all about, right?
Right.
Stop quarantining healthy people. We've convinced healthy people that they're sick. Really.
Yeah,
and these
amazing.
People are mentally ill. Like, oh my God, I can't. You're not. Unless you're going to spit at me on the restaurant, I think I'm okay. Right. Just don't spit at me. I don't think there's a problem with people spitting back and forth at restaurants. I've never, 40 something years I've been on this earth, never once have I seen anybody spit on anybody at a restaurant. Right. Especially table to table.
Yeah. Well, the table could happen because you, when you get to the table, so you take your mask off.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the thing.
Just
don't do it as you're walking to the table. Try not to spit on anybody.
This statistic we read on the on our podcast. This is compiled by U.S. First Trust. First Trust. Yeah. I don't have my glasses.
This is remarkable. This is first, by the way. We need to mention this a few times, by the way, because it really talks about the dumbing down of America.
A recent survey found that the U.S. public believes that 20% of the U.S. population has been infected by COVID-19 and 9% have died
due
to the pandemic.
That's the big one. 20% may have been, right? I mean, most of the people that got COVID, 90% don't know, or 90-some percent don't know they had it, right? So that could be a real number.
But 9%
death rate is...
You're talking about 30 million Americans dead here,
right?
Yeah,
guess what? If we're at a 9% death rate, I am wearing my mask.
Yeah,
I am wearing my mask. I get it, right?
Yeah,
and by the way, we were told 2 million Americans were going to die. That's what we were told.
Yeah,
by the way, Al Gore's got a new book out. How appropriate... Is it for Al to resurface here, right? Because you know his BS in his book years ago.
Well, that's what this is about. This is about control.
Absolutely,
that's all it is.
So now he's saying, well, COVID is of course climate change, right?
Yeah.
But I look at all the numbers at COVID, right? I look at all these 96% wrong. That's the average model, 96% wrong. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely 1,000% appropriate for Al Gore to get in this and write a book about it because he was 96% off, right? Because remember, we were all going to be underwater at this point, right? We were all going to be dead if we didn't.
Yeah, but they're still buying oceanfront property. That's
the best part about it.
That's how you know that they're totally disingenuous, by the way, right? When they say, well, the sea levels may rise by 4 feet and that'll swamp Miami, but I just bought a condo in Miami. It doesn't make any sense. All right, we're going to take a very short break. We come back on the other side of the break. We're going to check in with Mike Spraz, of course, as we do each and every week, find out what's going on in the world of homeowners and auto. Then we're going to welcome I'm going to play some clips first to set the stage from somebody from Venezuela in his own words. And then we're going to welcome our special guest, Antonio Oliva, to talk in his words. You know, we played on Tuesday the fantastic Maximo Alvarez from the RNC conference, and he did great. I thought it'd be a great follow-up to have Antonio, a friend of ours, on the show this weekend. So here we go. We'll have him on coming up. Stay tuned. You've got the Financial Guys. Need us throughout the week, folks. 833-FIN-GUYS, thefinancialguys.com. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You've got the Financial Guys, and we're going to have a quick interview before we go to our very special guest here. Again, if you need us throughout the week, I do want to mention we do manage money for a living. You can reach us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, whether you are out in Rochester, down in Florida, or right here in Western New York. We have a one-stop financial shop that can help you with all of your wealth planning, investment planning, retirement planning, income planning, insurance planning needs, and much more. Homeowners and auto, we're going to talk to Mike Spraz in a second. Mortgage is coming soon. We're doing that now through an affiliate. And, of course, estate planning we do a lot of and quite a bit of as well. So if you need us throughout the week, folks, Medicare season coming up, of course. I failed to mention that. That's knocking on the door here right around the corner. Again, we have offices that can handle your Medicare needs, whether it be Buffalo, Rochester, or South Florida in Jupiter and Palm Beach. You can reach us 833-FIN-GUYS or thefinancialguys.com.
Hey, Glenn, before we get to these clips and stuff, we'll get to Mike. I'm just looking at our Twitter feed that you posted. This is CNN.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they are disgusting.
Is it unbelievable?
Shame on you,
I mean,
CNN.
Seriously? How do you work there?
Please turn CNN off. Please turn. If you're accidentally watching it, I mean, it's unreal, right? CNN says mostly peaceful protest after police shooting. And that literally the CNN anchor is in front of buildings on fire. Like,
yeah.
It's
not even mostly peaceful protest.
He's standing in front of a burning business.
It says it's hilarious. You can't make this up. This is the bottom headline while the reporter is doing the interview in front of a burning business.
Right.
The headline is new overnight. Fiery, but mostly peaceful protest.
Fiery.
Go look at the picture on our Twitter feed.
Fiery,
folks.
But mostly peaceful.
Fiery.
How can you have buildings on fire and say it's peaceful? I mean, what is wrong with you?
It's an inferno. It's not even like a house fire. It's like a parking lot full of cars inferno. Fiery, but mostly peaceful. Yeah. That is your fake news, folks. When Donald Trump says enemy of the people and fake news, if you work there honestly, how low must your integrity actually be to be willing to stand in front of a fiery building, do a news report while CNN says fiery but mostly peaceful? I would have quit right there.
Oh, right.
I'd be like, you made me look like an idiot.
This is fake beyond fake at this point. Yeah,
you made me look like a moron. Yeah. I can't do this.
Yeah,
I'm
not
out of
even
here.
Fake. It's just stupid.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, good gosh. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's welcome Mike Spiraza. Check him. Speaking of fiery buildings, right, we want to make sure our homeowners and our auto is up to date. You know, one of the things, Mike, we talked about this week that I know you see a lot of is people that are underinsured, especially when it comes to the houses, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of homes have appreciated. And lumber prices, by the way, folks, have doubled thanks to COVID and the shutdown of all these businesses. So.
Yeah. And
something to keep in mind.
Thanks
when you look
to the
at
new terrorist
cost.
Group, Black Lives Matter, that seems to be burning buildings. So.
Right. So demand's going up as we burn
That's
down
right.
our cities.
That's right. We need more lumber.
For construction materials. So
we will have. Not, there may be a positive on this. I was thinking about that because we're burning down these inner city Democrat, you know, the Democrat run cities. Who are, a lot of these are already filth ridden, you know, disgusting, rat infested holes. So maybe there's shovel ready property at the end of this. There could be a positive.
Well, not if there's no police. It'll be shovel ready forever.
Oh, it'll be shovel ready. Yeah.
No one's ever going to build if there's no police.
Yeah. Well, you can see.
The sad thing is,
but the results
even the residents
out.
There don't want it. You
yeah,
know?
I know.
Anyway.
That's the sad All part. Right. That's just a lot of good people who are going to be hurt by this. Got to get them off their butts to vote conservative before we slip too far down the socialism slide.
All right, Michael, are you there?
Yeah. What's going on?
How are you? So we talked this week a little bit about the people being uninsured and making sure you've got with the appreciation, the lumber prices. What should people be looking at when it comes to their homeowners policy, Mike?
Yeah, I think actually homeowners and auto, there's some different things you want to look at. Starting with the home, because you mentioned that first. I mean, little things like sewer and water backup coverage. How much do you have of that, if anything? You know, how much do you have for other structures? Do you have separate buildings or outbuildings that you have at your home that cost maybe more than you're getting on your other structures coverage? There's things now out there called service line coverage or underground utility line coverage. Identity fraud coverage there's on homeowners policies now too. So a lot of these things are things that you have to add or increase on your policy that they may not automatically just give you. And on the auto, you know, your uninsured motorist coverage, if you're hit by an uninsured driver, if you you know, your personal injury protection section of your policy, if you get injured in an accident, how much are you covered for? Those are all little things that I think we sometimes gloss over. We just think about, you know, the auto liability, the home liability, and then, you know, what the structure's coverage for or covered for, excuse me. So there's a lot of different things that aren't, you know, talked about a lot because people just think they're not important. And
Mike, a lot of our listeners out there, they support, you know, our conservative thinking and they want to be a part of what we're doing. But, you know, they might already have a good insurance company, right? That happens a lot of times where folks will come to us and say, you'll look at their policy and you'll say, hey, you're with the right company and we can service that policy for free, right? It doesn't cost them. I shouldn't say free. The insurance company pays you, but it doesn't cost the client anything to have somebody review that policy and, in a sense, take it over, right?
Yeah, we work with a lot of different companies, and Mike, you always say this, and I always do this. If somebody's in a good spot and their you know pricing is good, their coverage is good, there's no need to mess with that policy, and you want to just keep it where it is instead of changing things every year or two just to change things. So when I run into stuff like that, and it's companies we work with, it's a simple you know broker change. So we become the broker on the policy, and I notice that a lot in our area. You know, people that want to work with us are. You know, share the same beliefs as us. They end up saying, well, if you can take this over, take it over. And again, like you said, it doesn't cost them anything. The premiums stay where they are. Obviously, if you have an increase on your renewal, that's the renewal. It's not us taking it over. But, you know, there's we see that a lot. I to be honest with you, I did it three times this week. People just say, you know, look, we love listening to you guys. We want to work with you guys. And that's what we do if they're in a good spot. If not, we look to put them in a better position, whether it be by price or coverage.
And then put them in a ticker system, so being able to shop over 25 companies, right? We oftentimes are in a great position this year, next year, but the third year, that insurance company all of a sudden increases the rates, and you've got somebody there to give you a call and say, hey, look, just so you know, they're going up by 25%. I think it's time to shop this, right?
If there's one thing I can promise everyone, over time, your rates are going to increase. It's just how it works. That's just the insurance game. They're always going to increase.
Yep.
So that's
like
why we have to shop, you know, every, you know, I always say maybe not every year moving policies or shopping policies, but at least every, you know, 18 to 24 months, 36 months, you want to look at them at the very least and just run a comparison to see.
Yep.
There's no harm in that. It's a quick thing. And we've started doing that with all of our clients where we just give a call, say hello, anything change, and we just give them an updated rate right over the phone or a Zoom meeting.
Perfect. 833-FIN-GUYS or thefinancialguys.com. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Have a good weekend. All right. That's Mike Sprazza. And again, if you need him throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS, whether you are, again, in South Florida, Western New York, or out in Rochester, we can help you really anywhere. Just give us a call at the office or go to our website at thefinancialguys.com. Mike, before I introduce Antonio Oliva here, I wanted to play a couple of these clips to kind of set the stage. This is, you know, really, I think, you know, a lot of folks, and it's sad to hear these young kids and these kids coming out of college, and then you wonder, like, you know, they're screaming at police officers, and they're echoing basically communist talking points. And, you know, when you hear from people in their own words what the real dangers are, I think it's kind of eye-opening. This is a clip you sent me, Mike, and this young gentleman really just lays it out perfectly. I thought, you know, this would be good to hear it in really his own words, at least just to kind of set this off.
You know, what they see, they think is bad. If they actually get to see what is going on inside the country, they will get terrified what is going on. For example, going outside and you see garbage in the street because there is the public services of garbage, they don't work. So if there is plenty of garbage in the street and there is families eating that garbage. Mm-hmm. And there is families that actually make schedules, so they wait till the restaurants take out their garbage so they can get a piece of that garbage. That's one of the examples. Other examples is that in my house, you have 4 days water shortages. So you have 4 days where you have no water at all in your house and probably no electricity too. So that's a second factor. There is plenty of things we can...
So where are they having, I don't know, things like rolling blackouts? Mm. Where are I having shortages? Oh, those would be places like California.
Yeah,
those would be places
now,
like New York,
who
right?
Who runs those places? Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Democrats, right? And what's the common theme there? The common theme is free, 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 socialism, socialism.
Yeah,
socialism,
well, we'll
socialism
play that
by
too.
The way, is great until you run out of other people's
yeah.
money, right? And that's what
well,
we always forget about.
They all promise the same stuff, Mike. It's always the free health care. It's the free this, the free that, the,
yeah.
you know.
But when you run out of other people's money and, you know, like the Democrats are always talking about we need to have a clean environment, right? Green. Well, why is Venezuela not green anymore? Why is
right.
it? Why is it a disgusting mess? I mean, this is somebody who was there, right? Somebody on the ground who said,
yep.
I saw people eating out of garbage in the streets. The garbage is in the street. Why? Because socialism, we run
Doesn't
out of
work.
Other people's
That's
money.
Right.
And when we run out of other people's money, there's nobody there to clean up the garbage. There
exactly.
is no government officials anymore to do that, right?
Nope.
But by the way, you see what he said, though? There's still restaurants there, right? And
oh,
guess
yeah.
what? The rich will get richer, right?
Yep.
That 1% that everybody's bitching about and fighting
Mike,
about.
Hold that thought.
About,
we gotta take a break.
Richer.
Hold that thought. On the other side of the break, we're going to come back with Antonio Oliva. He was born in Cuba. He's now, of course, an American citizen. We'll talk to him and get his perspective on some of the stuff he's hearing, and we'll play more of these clips as well. You got the Financial Guys. We'll be right back on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930. Now, Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, and the Financial Guys Radio Network. And again, if you need us throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS. We may open the phones today, but I really want to get these interviews in. I think it's super important to play these clips. We're actually going to start to try to take phone calls at some point later this year on our podcast. So if you haven't subscribed yet, go to iTunes or Spotify or the Google Android Store, whatever you like to listen to podcasts on, and make sure you follow us there. Hit the whatever button that will get notifications to you. The bell icon. I guess you subscribe to our podcast, and then you get the notifications.
Yeah.
Come out every Tuesday. Video version coming out every Wednesday on our YouTube channel.
By the way, if you like Russ and Carl, Paladino, Russ Thompson, filling in for us quite, often on the radio show here, doing a podcast on our network as well. So you can find it all on financialguys.com.
So I'm going to play two more of these clips from this gentleman. He's a freedom activist in Venezuela trying to help his country. I'm going to butcher his name. It's Andre Gugliarte, I think, or something like that.
Gugliarte, you could probably pronounce it on. That's close enough.
Let me play two more of these clips because this guy really just talks about a couple of things. The whole clip is fantastic, but a couple of things that really, you don't think it can happen here.
No.
But then you see what, in the old days, The Democrats would, go far left during the primary to appeal to their base, and then they would bring it back to the middle for the general.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bringing it back to the middle, folks. They're still out there talking about defunding the police, the Green New Deal, eliminating hydrofracking. Yeah. I mean, holy cannoli.
The old Democrat Party, Glenn, wasn't defunding the police, right? Far left.
They were
40
the police.
Years ago. Yeah, that's right. Far left 40 years ago was where we want higher wages, right? We want better working conditions. That's very different than let's defund the police.
Yeah, and tear down capitalism.
That's right.
Crazy.
Very, very different. I mean, there has never been a bigger divide between Trump and Biden. There's never. I don't. Looking back at history, I don't think there's ever been this much
no
of
way.
A. These people are absolutely left wing nut jobs.
Yeah.
Do we cling on to what this country was all founded on, which is free market?
I don't
capitalism.
Care how much you hate Trump. Okay, how could you possibly vote? To defund the police? Are you crazy?
Here's my favorite, Glenn. Here's my favorite. This the people go. Well, I just don't like his character, and that's why I said to somebody the other day. I said, you do know that Joe Biden was accused of rape, right?
Right.
He was accused of rape. Right.
Yeah.
Now he's got the
Very
right
incredible.
To fight that and all that stuff, but he was accused of rape. Now, you also love the Clintons. The Clintons say, Billy has been accused of rape multiple times.
Yep.
He's been on an airplane 20-something times to an island where we know was Pedophile Island, right? But that somehow is high character to you? That's a class act as opposed to Donald Trump, who's got, a big mouth? I mean,
so we're better off voting for the communists. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's really ludicrous when you really break it down.
Mike.
It is absolutely a mental disorder, no doubt
about it. Let's play more of these clips. This is... from YouTube, and give credit to John Locke is putting this out there. John Locke something or other. I have to pull up his whole thing to be able to see it. The John Locke Foundation is what this is. Okay. All right, here we go. Let me play two more clips.
Just taken away from the options, because that's not allowed in socialism. So when something wants to sell Nordic model, they're just selling you, like we say in Venezuela, they're selling you rabbits instead of, cats. They're actually selling you Venezuela, not selling you Norway. You're not going to end up like Norway if you follow the Venezuelan policies.
Okay, so you get that, folks, what they're telling, talk about, socialism is great. Look at, Bernie Sanders, who basically Biden is adopting his platform, is always pointing to, look at how Norway's doing. Look at the Netherlands. Look at Sweden. By the way, Sweden and the Netherlands and Norway, for the most part, they tried socialism in the 70s. They ran away screaming and yelling.
Fast.
Having a social safety net is a very different scenario from full-blown socialism.
Yep.
Let me play one more clip, and then we'll introduce our special guest, because this is him talking about, what happened in Venezuela and the parallels here.
In the 90s. Socialism was really popular in the universities. You have a lot of teachers that were they agreed in the Marxist way of thinking, and I see that's happening here in the U.S. too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of in college they have a lot of these teachers that they're trying to push forward in these ideas, and if you don't pay attention to that, those are the generations that are going to vote in the future. So that was one of the mistakes of the governments before Chavez. The other mistake.
So, I wish we had more time. Just for the sake of time, I got to cut that clip short.
Go to our website,
really great clip.
Or our Facebook. Yeah. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you'll grab that.
I'll make sure I put that away. Wanted to have the opportunity to introduce and not cut any time short our special guest for the remaining of the hour here, Antonio Oliva. And you've been on our podcast in the past. I don't know if you've ever been on a radio show, though. Yeah, you're good to go. I've got your mic on. So I want to just give your background, first of all. You were born in Cuba. You came here very young, so it's not like you fled when you were 40, right? You're now, what are you around now, 50-something?
How old are you, Antonio?
I'll just say you're a little older than I am, okay? I'm 48, so Tony's a little older than I am.
He's a lot older than I am.
But you came here very, very young, and I wanted you to kind of talk about that and what that means to you. And, you know, when I'm hearing right now in this country, our Erie County Health Commissioner literally said, turn in your friends, turn in your family,
turn in your enemies. Yes.
When it comes to things like social distancing
and by the way, she's still hiding from us. I call her at least twice a week.
Of course.
She's still hiding from
us. And I love how the media, like the internet, the allies, right? They scrub. I could not find the quote anywhere. They scrub it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find it eventually.
Yeah.
And then I'll download it to our hard drive. But anyway, Tony, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Tell us your family story, Tony.
Well, my name's Antonio Jesus Oliva. Yes, I was born in Matanzas, Cuba, which is a province next to Havana. It is the largest port and the deepest port in all Cuba. Now, I will tell you this. My father, as we got older, we had philosophical calls. My father supported a Democrat by the name of Fidel Castro. Now, in 58, 59, which is identical to what's happening in the United States today, there was a movement, yes, and it started by young people that were led by college professors that we need to change this, we need to share the wealth, we need to do all these things that we're hearing today. But it was the educators that put it into the minds of the weak children. And the weak children is what started pushing. Now, my father supported him blindly, not knowing he was a communist. Now, my father was educated, but in the field of construction. He never understood what communism could sneak in on you. Well, I'm telling you, we were fortunate. We didn't flee from Cuba. We were fortunate that we had a relative that lived in Miami, Florida already. They had already become American citizens, so they sponsored us, which means they paid the communist country money to allow our family to leave. My father was held back actually in a concentration camp, because he owned trucks, and they converted those trucks to communist troop transports. He just refused to drive them. So they held him over, which cost more money to get my father out. My father came months later. But under sponsorship, the person sponsored you 1 year after you get to the United States of America, that person is responsible for your livelihood. Yes, the government will provide you with basic food and necessities, but they won't supply you with insurance. They want to supply you with rent. They won't pay your electric. So my family was a proud family, and I was raised from a small child to hate communism. I was basically set off to this, basically understand that you have to take pride in yourself. And one of the worst things you can be on is social welfare programs. So I had learned to work since I was 5 years old.
Did your dad ever talk to you about how he was duped by the Democrats? I mean, you know, your dad obviously, because he's a smart guy, construction guy, right? Hard, sounds like, you know, when I think construction worker, I think hardworking, you know, salt of the earth. You know, does he ever talk about, like, being duped by them? Like, what were the promises? What made him say, you know, boy, I think this really sounds great, and then, oh, no, what did I vote for?
Yeah, we discussed that later on. I said, why? He says, the guy was honestly very charismatic. And when he saw Obama, which a lot of old Cubans that were, honestly, they're no longer alive. But when you look back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when Obama, he goes, this is the same guy. The speech has changed. The face is changed. This is Fidel Castro in a costume.
Yeah.
Barack Hussein Obama, we don't know till this day who he really is, but he started the movement towards socialism, which is the beginning of communism. So the old Cubans were petrified. And I recently heard a Cuban talk at the RNC, and it brought back so many memories of the things that my father said. Communism is here. We have to stop it, and we have to stop it at all costs. Now, I will tell you, my father and mother both come from giant families. I'm talking 12, 13 each. My father's smartest brother was a veterinarian. So basically he was a doctor slash veterinarian. He had more than everybody else in the family, but he earned it. He went to school longer than everybody else. Now I'm telling you this because when the communists started rounding up anyone that had money so they could find their money, because a lot of Cubans did hide money, his own sister reported him to the Communist Party, and my uncle had to escape in a 12-foot boat, knowing nothing about boating, nothing about fishing, but he knew astrology, and he knew where the North Star was. Wow. So they took him with him, and he was able to escape in this little boat, and he ended up in Marathon, Florida, following the North Star. That was the compass.
That's amazing. So you, when you hear about, you know, turning your friends, turning, whether it's masks, folks, or whether it's where's the money hidden, whether it's who's got the guns, you hear about these red flag laws now. It's this creeping communism, and don't talk about that I'm crazy. It's here. When you've got people like Valerie Jarrett, her father, folks, was a card-carrying communist member, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a fact. You can look it up. Everybody's got Google. You can go find that, right? When you see and you hear these things, these are the starting points to get there, right? Just like the gentleman on the YouTube video said, they talk about selling you a cat, but really what they're giving you is a rabbit, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about how great the socialist Medi-Cal system is in Europe and whatnot, but that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get the Venezuelan system where there is no medicine and there are no hospital beds. We're going to take a very short break, folks. We're going to talk more with Antonio Oliva, and we'll finish out this next segment this hour with his interview. Again, if you need us throughout the week, you can use us as a resource, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-FIN-GUYS, or again, go to our website at thefinancialguys.com. All right, very short break. You've got the Financial Guys. I'm Glenn Wiggle here with Mike Lomas, and we'll be right back with Antonio Oliva right here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930. Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, live here on the Financial Guys Radio Network. Thanks again for tuning in. We have a special guest with us today. We're going to have some other special guests in the second hour as well, so make sure you listen throughout the entire show. We've got some additional guests joining us from some local businesses. Each week we've been trying to highlight different businesses that are going out of business or being harassed by tyrants, whether it be, well, mainly it's all in New York. Like, it's not nothing in Florida, really.
Yeah. Florida's opening, by the way. The difference, we talked about that in the beginning of the show. I mean, cut you off, Glenn, but talked about the difference in that, you know, when I look at Florida and we've got offices there, offices in New York, Florida never really shut down. They had a temporary shutdown with the restaurants, and it was a few weeks, 2 weeks or so, and then they started to open back up, right? And I know the mayor of Palm Beach has said we're going into another phase of reopening. By the way, for those of you in New York that are brainwashed by CNN, the numbers are going way down in Florida. They're going way down in Arizona. You know, there was some reports the other day that you know, they're shocked that the disease is mutating itself, and it seems to be a lot less deaths. Now, who called that? Oh yeah, we did. Yeah. When you look back, we have to put together a montage because there's 100% nailed this entire thing. And by the way, I think we're the only ones in all of Western New York that from day one said, please do not give Andrew Cuomo the power to force people to wear masks and shut down businesses.
Well, the power to everything.
You never quarantine healthy people. And now some of these people who are praising him, oh my God, he's the greatest thing ever, are going, I can't believe he's abusing his power like this. No. Who would have thought that? Oh yeah, we did. Who called that? We did, right?
As of the end of July, Mike, we are second to last for unemployment rates in the country.
Of course, we are.
15.9.
It's going to get worse, by the way.
Massachusetts is at 16.1.
Going to get worse. Many of these the restaurant owners, many of these folks in the service business and service industry, and it's not just restaurants, by the way. I keep talking about restaurants, but there's all kinds. There's people that sell them the equipment, right? There's people that sell them the food. There's people that that sell them cash registers, right? Your brother-in-law used to do that, right? That was his business. He'd go in. It was a point-of-sale contact. You could do your cost of goods, cost of labor, all that stuff. Guess what? All those people are leaving. They're all going to Florida. They're all going to Texas. They're all going to places where they're welcome. And this mess has just started because the PPP money is running out.
Yeah, there was an article this week I sent you, Mike. New York City from Fox Business faces business exodus. Officials unclear as to full extent of losses.
No, of course they're unclear. Yeah, of course they are.
Of course they are.
Yeah,
they'll be unclear until the coffers run dry. And they're going to be looking for your money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Anyway. All right, let's go back to our special guest. We've got Antonio Oliva. He's been a colleague and a friend for probably a decade or more. We've known each other for a long time. You know, what's amazing about this country, Tony, and you know, one of the things we always talk about as entrepreneurs, right? Mike and I, of course, are serial entrepreneurs. We have, you know, over our 20 or 25 year career have launched multiple businesses. Some that we've sold, some we've kept, and I love hearing when people and seeing people become successful from really nothing. And that's what, to me, what makes America so great. One of the exceptional things about America is that equal opportunity. Whether you are Indian American, like Nikki Haley, or whether you're Cuban American or whatever, it doesn't matter, right? The opportunity to put yourself in a better position. I'd like you just talk about like your childhood, you know, where your upbringing, you know, obviously your family started with literally nothing, right? You're leaving Cuba as a young child. Your family's coming here basically leaving everything behind, right?
We came with the clothes on our back. No suitcase, no nothing. Like I said, for 1 year, we lived in a little tiny apartment, which I barely remember. So I'll give you a hint of my age. John F. Kennedy was still alive. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even elected. But I will tell you this. For 1 year, we lived in Miami. And then my father was so proud that he did not want to be an economic burden to his brother-in-law. So we moved to a tiny little town called Canal Point, Florida. Lived there for 1 year, and I'll tell you how poor we was. The government used to give us something called grits. We had no idea what it was. Thank God my mother didn't cook that. But I had to eat beans. I had to eat bean soup. I had to eat beans in all kinds of directions. Because they gave us beans. They gave us rice. They gave us giant, giant containers of peanut butter. They gave us these military blocks of this ugly yellow cheese. Now I know it's Velveeta. And cornbread. What do you do with cornbread? These are Cubans. They have no idea. This is not traditional Cuban food. Thank God they gave us something called Cairo syrup, which is sweet as can be, and Cubans have a sweet tooth. So it was cornbread with Cairo syrup on it, and that was our dessert.
Wow.
But I grew up honestly hungry. And I was telling Glenn Wiggle that the other day I was at a store, and I had a shopping cart full of food. And two things occurred to me. Every shelf was full of food. The second thing, my cart was full of food. And then the most important thing is I realized that was the moment I could afford anything I wanted in my life. So I grew up poor. So please understand, I'm reaching out now to everyone. Whether you're an American born, whether you're from another country, whether you're black, whether you're Indian or Chinese, I grew up poor. I set a goal because people changed my life. So I'm going to tell you about being poor. I grew up in a little town that was probably 50% American black, Hispanics, and whites, country whites. And I had friends that I played with that were blacks. And I will never forget to this day, Willie Fields, a tall black kid, that protected me from a big black kid named Bernard. And that was my first thoughts about black kids. You have the good ones and you have the bad ones. But during that time, I heard from blacks this term that I now understand. The white man is keeping us down. The white man is keeping us down. I didn't understand what it meant then, but today, and I'm telling, I'm reaching out to black people. The white man keeping you down is the Democratic Party today is feeding you lies, just like communism. And yes, they are keeping you down. Why is it that Oprah Winfrey is a multi-billionaire when other blacks are so poor that they are way below everyone else that comes to this country? Why is it? Well, guess what? It's a choice. I made a choice. I made choices, and I was fortunate. I did hear a speech by a gentleman when I was a kid that said, for things to change, you have to change. And then I heard the great auditor, John F. Kennedy, says, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And today, I stand here and I sit here, whatever. I am an American. Not only am I an American citizen by choice, I am an American because I choose to be an American. I want to protect this country and what it truly is. It needs to be the only free country where people still want to come to. Cubans have nowhere to go. What are we going to go back to? Cuba? Communists? The Venezuelans that live here, they have nowhere to go. Mexico is a great, great, great country with a lot of proud people. Honestly, the smart ones are getting out of there too. They elected a communist president. So, with that, I will tell you, I was fortunate that I had met some people that had changed my belief systems. I went from thinking I was going to be poor for the rest of my life to I can have anything I want. My father was the first one. He says, you can have anything you want. And he was poor, and I was thinking, okay, so give it to me. Goes,
not how that works.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I was 5 years old, and honestly, I now know I got caught shoplifting. I just went to the store and stole the candy. Didn't know I was stealing the candy. I was 5 years old, and I like candy. The man was nice enough to send me home and ask my father about money. My father gave me an education at the age of five. Where money comes from, he says, you got to get a job. Imagine 5 years old asking your father, where do I get a job? He had no money to give me.
Yeah.
We were four children, two adults, living in a little tiny place. So my father gave me two options. I could be the paper boy, or I could go work with my older brother, who was 2 years older than me, mowing lawns. So at the age of five, I was the one that raked the lawns, and I was the one that did the edging in yards with a machete. So that's how I started my first job. I've actually asked people today, go to, by the way, I'm in the financial services too, go to SSA.gov, Social Security Administration.gov, and you can see from the very, very first day you started paying taxes in the United States of America, I was 11.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. That's the best part about this country, though. You can come from nothing. You can work hard. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or your upbringing or where you were born. None of that matters, folks. And that's where when you say the Democrats are keeping, you know, the African-American communities down, it's because of lack of school choice. Yep. It's failing schools. It's lack of education, right? That's where it all starts, unfortunately. It's the inner city violence. It's defunding the police. Wow. I mean, think about that, folks. They're going around town. They're doing interviews, right? They're talking to people in these you know, inner city communities. And they're asking, what do you think about defunding the police? Like, are you crazy? Of course we don't want to defund the police. Right. These people, they don't want to defund the police. The people that want to defund the police are these 25-year-old snot-nosed college kids that are the daughters and sons of these liberal left-wing college professors. They're the one. They don't live where they want to defund the police, right? These clowns are so ignorant. They're calling the police to ask them to protect them so that they can have their defund the police rally. That's where this goes. Antonio, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Antonio.
Thank you for having me here.
Nice job.
It's good to hear from, you know, folks that have lived it. And I'd like to get another colleague of ours on, Brian, at some point. He has a very similar upbringing, not from a foreign country, but grew up poor and you know, built a big company. And that's what makes America great. It really does. We have to keep that opportunity, folks. We have to.
Yeah. By the way, if you're looking for Tony, he's a financial planner with us, right? And we know this is a place where money meets politics, and we haven't really been talking a lot about money, but we've been talking about the political side, which is all, by the way, you know, ask yourself how the Venezuela economy is doing. How's Cuba's economy doing, right? It's so important, folks, that we fight back socialism to continue to have the opportunity to create great things and have the market continue to go higher. But if you're looking for folks like Tony in our Florida office in Jupiter, 833-FIN-GUYS for all your help.
You can call the Florida office directly as well. 561-614-2000 is that number, 561-614-2000. You can always ask for Tony Oliva, and we'd be happy to pass along the call to him. All right, that's the first hour in the can. Next hour coming up, we have some special guests from Spotlight Theater is going to be joining us. We're also going to be having a special announcement we're going to unveil as well. So thefinancialguys.com, 833-FIN-GUYS. We'll be right back here on the other side of the break. Don't turn it out.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Open the curtain, please. We are introducing New York State Clean hand sanitizer made conveniently by the state of New York.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
This is a superior product to products now on the market. Purell, competitor, New York State Clean. It has a very nice floral bouquet, little I detected lilac, hydrangea, tulips. What is it?
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, hour number two. Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, thanks for staying with us, folks. We certainly appreciate it. If you missed the first hour, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we had a good friend Antonio Oliva on in the first hour. He's been a friend and a colleague for many, many years. Works with us down in the Florida office as a financial advisor, Cuban-American. We wanted to talk a little bit about socialism today and really the dangers of it. Now, we've preached this for 20-plus years, folks, on the radio. For 20 years. We have warned you about the dangers of socialism, and we are, I guess, probably more Reagan-esque than anything else. You know, we grew up in that Cold War era, of course, and remembering that the Cold War and eventually the fall of the Berlin Wall. But you know, we fought communism throughout decades before that in Vietnam, in Korea. Right, we've been beating back the evils of communism for a long, long, long time, and then suddenly after 1990, after the wall fell, it seems like we got very complacent. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you got Valerie Jarrett as the White House, consultant or whatever she was, chief of staff, I guess, to President Obama, whose father was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. And just like that, you have socialists and just like Bernie Sanders said it best, by the way, folks, 10 years ago, this would have been completely left-wing heretic talk. Today it's mainstream. I got caught up in my accent.
Today it's mainstream.
Yeah. Right, so you know,
it's like a cancer though, Glenn. It slowly bleeds into your system, right? And little by little, you're told. And Antonio nailed it when he was talking about where does it start. It starts with brainwashing the children in school, right? Yeah. So now what we're doing is we're trying to erase history so they don't know how bad socialism really is, right? Yep. Let's slowly erase history so they don't learn about what happened in Venezuela, so they don't learn what happened in Cuba to guys like Tony's family, whose dad owned a construction company,
and eventually, dad and uncle as well.
Yeah, yeah, eventually they just took it from him. They took his vehicles. They took, why? Well, because he was one of those nasty one percenters
percent. He refused, his father refused to drive the truck. So they basically, the communist government just took his trucks, right? Yeah. They just said, okay, now your trucks are ours because we own all the businesses, right?
Right.
Just like Maxine Waters says, a decade ago, 12 years ago, remember she famously said, we would take over your business, talking about to
this,
the oil executives. This liberal would be all about because you couldn't say socializing back then. Right. It was a dirty word. They kept it secret, right? Mm-hmm. They were selling you the cat, except they were giving you the rabbit, right? So now, though, they're just flat out telling you, hey, we are flat out. It's a Democrat Socialist Party of America.
If you see him in a restaurant, by the way, remember when she said, if you see him in a restaurant, don't
serve
him.
In a gasoline station, harass them, get in their face.
Now you've got Black Lives Matter doing that, right? They're going out to people saying, you better, throw your fist up in the air, which I thought was a white supremacist thing, but apparently now it's a Black Lives Matter thing.
I can't keep up. I don't know. I thought it was a communist thing.
That's right.
These change so fast now. You never know if you're offensive or if you're, I don't know.
That's right.
Anyway, this hour, however, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk to another business owner. We've had business owners on the radio show every single week, basically, for the last month or so. This week, We're going to be talking to Scott from Spotlight Theater down in Warsaw. So, you know, again, it's just frustrating to watch King Como. I got to imagine it's frustrating for me to watch, and at least our business is open. I couldn't imagine. These folks that are just begging, like, please,
so many people,
the gym owners, the theaters.
I've had so many people say, why are you guys, your business is growing during this. Why are you fighting so much? Because I know the end result of this, right?
Well,
I know where it's going. Yeah. It's like, why would you fight socialism if you're part of the 1% or the top 10% who's still eating and out to restaurants and taking advantage of it? Why? Because the monster comes for everybody eventually, right? I get it. And you've been saying this for a while. Spot on. The monster comes for everybody. They're after restaurants right now. Why? Because they can control their liquor license, right? They're out for gyms because they can control, I guess, what, the health permit? I don't know what, but what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. What's next is going to be the state tax collectors. And what'll be after that is, Wall Street's still there, so let's go get them, right? Let's tax all the trades that they do, right? Mm-hmm. Monster will come for everybody. And eventually, it'll come for you folks that are the ones knocking on the door, right? You health inspectors, as we just learned from the video we played before from Venezuela, right? What do you mean? Well, there'll be no money left to pay you, right?
Right.
So
right.
You will be gone. Yes, you will be gone at some point. It's just a matter of when the monster comes back to get you. So why are we fighting? We know the end result of this. The end result is not better health care. The end result is not free education. The end result is not a cleaner environment. It is a dirtier environment. And you can see it here. We see it. That every Democrat-run city ends up having huge spots of this that are filthy, disgusting, crack-infested messes, right? Go to California. We fly to California.
Most of the state
We've got traders in California, and I cannot believe when I fly into San Diego and I start to drive out of some of the core areas, I think, oh, my gosh, what happened to this place?
Crumbling.
What
the infrastructure
happened
to this crumbling.
Place?
A rising tide lifts all boats. I said earlier we were more Reagan-esque than anything, and that's really a conservative Reagan type of principle, right? I mean, lowering the cost of the size of government, shrinking the size of government, lowering the cost of doing business, lowering regulations, lowering taxes, giving people back their own money, letting them make their own decisions.
Their individual liberty, allowing them to live.
So important.
Allowing them to live. And by the way, again, I'm going to continue to say this every single show. If you're wearing a mask because you think it's going to help yourself, God bless you.
Yeah,
but if you're wearing
a mask
because Andrew Cuomo is telling you, please burn the thing in your backyard. Please.
It's amazing because you can see the difference in businesses, right? You know, obviously we're out and about, right? So some businesses have the signs all over the door. Don't even come in. We will refuse you service. Now, by the way, for those of you that say, now there are people that legitimately have a medical condition, right? They may have, maybe they're on oxygen already. Maybe they have low oxygen intake, whatever it might be. So by now we're going to discriminate against people that have disabilities, right? So the American Disabilities Act, throw that right in the garbage. You can just shred that and drop that in the garbage because guess what? King Andrew says that you must wear a mask. So businesses are out there now with signs on their door saying no mask, no service. And you walk in, they say, we're going to refuse to serve you unless you put on a mask. That's like saying to somebody bound to a wheelchair, we're going to refuse to serve you unless you can walk up to the counter.
Right.
I'm serious.
Right.
That's disgusting, right? You would never think to say that to somebody bound to a wheelchair. God forbid, how horrible is that?
Here's the other part of this, by the way.
That's what you're saying to some
folks. A lot of conservative business owners that are falling for this. Like, stop. Right? You don't have to do that. Andrew Cuomo cannot tell you what you can do and what you have to do inside your business, right? Have a set of stones and start to step up. I saw there was a restaurant, I think it was in Texas, that said, please, no masks allowed in. We don't serve sheep.
There you go. Well, there you go. Right? Let me play. This is, you know, speaking of sheep, I wanted to play another clip before I forget, Mike.
Yep.
I don't know if I even sent this to you, but, you know, we're talking about, I know switching gears kind of abruptly here, but it just dawned on me real quick. And I know we're going to, you know, shift into doing some interviews and things like that throughout the rest of the show, the rest of the hour. But there was this Polk County sheriff. Did you see this? Did I send this to you?
I've seen a bunch of his clips. So.
Okay, so Antifa's, you know, obviously they're going in the suburbs now, right?
Yep.
They're going into, you know, you've seen them now on these residential streets.
That's not going to end
shining
up good,
lights.
Let me just predict this.
No, that
will not end up good, okay? You want to burn down the east side of Buffalo? Most of those buildings have already been taken a few shots at, so nobody's going to miss some of those, right?
Right.
Shovel-ready land, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt, okay. But you start moving in the suburbs, that is not going to end well. I'm just saying, not going to end pretty.
Well, so there. So, I mean, could you imagine if you're in your own house? And by the way, folks, these Antifa BLM folks, I think, are planning on being in East Aurora in the next couple of weeks. I mean, East Aurora is not east side of Buffalo, folks.
Yep.
It's not City Hall, Niagara Square, downtown, right?
Can I just mention,
it's a sleepy little, nice little community with a little nice little main street with shops and things like that. Are they going to smash windows going down Main Street?
They did already.
What is their plan?
They did already. They painted Black Lives Matter on some of the businesses there.
Disgusting.
By the way, East Aurora leans left. Did you ever notice that they never pick the right wing town?
Well, here's right? why. Here's why. I'll play this video. Here's exactly why. This is why they don't pick right wing towns. This is a county, a Polk County sheriff down in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah.
You anything in social media, but we have received information in social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them, if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County.
Love this.
Because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns.
I love this guy.
To leave the community alone.
Right? He's just giving you a warning. Like, leave our community alone.
Recommend.
That's the Lakeland police. I love it.
I highly recommend that they blow you back out.
That's right. All right. With that, we'll take a quick break.
We got to play that one more time.
We will. We'll play it again on the other side of the break. Just class. You got the Financial Guys right here on the Financial Guys Radio Network. Don't turn the dial.
You're listening to the Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at *930.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We'll play that Polk County Sheriff clip again, standing in front of the Lakeland Police. I'm not sure if that's – I think that is a Polk County Sheriff. He's at a Lakeland Police conference, but – you know, nobody wants to have their civil liberties restricted when it comes to protesting. Nobody also wants their window smashed and their house burnt to the ground or their business burnt to the ground either. And certainly we have to strike a balance between allowing people to protest but also maintaining our safety, right? So Polk County is basically saying, listen, I'm protect yourself because we can't be everywhere. And we'll play that clip again later. But before we get to that clip, speaking of freedom and liberty, we wanted to invite another special guest on the show. Jim Ostrowski is with us. Jim, of course, a very well-known local attorney, one of the very few constitutional attorneys we have in Western New York. And, of course, we have all kinds of constitutional violations going on, whether it's freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. It's unbelievable what they have, what King Cuomo has done in this state. And so we wanted to have an opportunity to talk to Jim about some of the things that we're trying to do about it. So, Jim, welcome to the show. We appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate your support.
Jim, tell our listeners, we're supporting you in filing a suit, right? I guess this is maybe breaking news, or we're going after the Cuomo and his band of buddies there to try to not only educate the public, but really try to hopefully stop some of this stuff going forward, right?
Yeah, we filed a broad-based challenge against the lockdown. We have a bunch of good, solid citizens. It's really a grassroots effort. We have a gun store, the Firing Pin in Batavia. We have a barber shop in Ithaca, and then a bunch of just regular citizens who are complaining about pretty much every aspect. We were complaining about the First Amendment being violated with the right to public assembly, interference with church services. In fact, I myself am a plaintiff complaining about the closing of my local Catholic church. We were complaining about the mask requirement. There's nothing wrong with wearing a mask. We're against the government mandating it. For closing down businesses without due process. But really, a lot of this is not so much those individual issues, but the basic issue that the governor cannot rule by decree. I used to watch the old Caesar movies, and Rex Harrison would bang his staff and issue some law, and that's how the Caesars ruled. And when I saw that happening, when I first heard about it, I was very disturbed because I've done a lot of research in the Second Amendment context about how you have collapsed democracies. You'll have a democracy, and all of a sudden there's an emergency, and then they allow somebody like Hitler or Mussolini to rule by decree. This has actually happened in history. Dictators don't just say, oh, I'm the dictator now. No, it happens through a gradual process. So I thought that was very disturbing, and I'm not doing a lot of federal litigation anymore. And, you know, after 37 years, it's time to, you know, have other people do it. But I made an exception here and put my name out there. My name's on the, as a plaintiff, Mike Kuzma is a very solid civil rights lawyer, a friend of mine. He's helping out. And then we really needed more help. You guys reached out, and I said, you know, I'd love to pad my pockets, but frankly, I need another set of legal eyes. So you guys made it possible to bring on a great downtown firm. Ruff Boz, Tony Ruff is one of the main partners over there. And it's so complicated answering a brief of three different motions to dismiss by a very large law firm called the Attorney General's Office. And I had gotten everything pretty much done, but there was about five issues that said, you guys are going to have to carry the ball in this. And they did a fantastic job, short notice, filled in the gaps. We had 51 pages. When it was all copied and cut and pasted, the court only gave us 40, so I spent 5 hours trying to cut the fat out. We kept all the solid arguments in there. And so we filed a 40-page response to the governor and the attorney general and the state police, and that's pending with Judge Siragusa in federal court in Rochester.
Jim, you talked about the governor, you know, cannot rule by decree. But what's amazing is, you know, like there's been some lawsuits, specifically the banquet facilities, and they won. And then the next day he comes in and takes their liquor license on them and basically shuts them down again. Almost like, I don't care what the court says, we're putting you out of business.
He doesn't go away quietly. So. That's why we need a broad-based ruling. If this is going to go to the Second Circuit, I don't know if we're going to win or lose. I do know that if we lose, we're going to the Second Circuit, where President Trump has appointed five judges on that court, and I think that court is changing in the direction of individual rights against big government. And we'll ultimately take this to the Supreme Court. So. You know, I said on Facebook today, you know, somebody said, well, I don't think you're going to win. I said, you know, the courts aren't the last word. The courts are the first word. But you got to go to court, and we will go to the appellate courts if necessary, or they'll go if they lose, certainly. We'll go to the Supreme Court if necessary. But if we lose it there, we'll win it in another venue, in a peaceful legal means. We can't, you know, the rights are too important to say, well, some federal judge said, you don't have that right anymore. Well, I'm sorry. That's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we're going to continue to help fund this, Jim, and push it forward. Mm-hmm. And people say to us, why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing this for my children, right? I'm doing this for my kids' kids, right? This has got to stop, and you can't have a dictator that's ruling by decree and just saying, you're going to do what I tell you. You know, amazing, the CDC comes out with some pretty good news, saying, hey, look, the COVID's going away. It's mutating itself. We think you can travel now. And Andrew says, too bad. I don't like the CDC anymore.
Exactly. It's outrageous. Totally. Well, we're not fighting for us. I mean, we're having a record, year, actually.
Yeah.
We're fighting for you, for everybody else out there, for those business owners that are starving right now, that are losing their life's work, that are, you know, that are getting tossed around by a tyrant in Albany that is acting on a whim. I don't like your menu. I'm shutting you down. I don't like the fact that chicken wings are not a meal. And, I mean, we're trying to do the best we can to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, to try to fight for this community and New York State in general, for these business owners who, in a lot of ways, can't fight for themselves right now because, again, they're trying to worry about paying their mortgage and going to the grocery store, not fighting a legal battle against a Goliath.
Well, you guys deserve a lot of credit. Over the years, I wish we'd gotten more support from the business community, but you're stepping forward. But you know as well as I do, there's a lot of fear. And if you're in a highly regulated industry that you've already alluded to, they'll pull your license. And hey, you know, I'm licensed. And you might think, oh, he's a big mouth. He's a big, tough lawyer. Everybody who's got a license has some fear about coming forward, but this was too important. Like you say, my kids, I think, are a little older than yours. Daughter just graduated from college. We did the college graduation in the house. My son is an elite basketball player in college, and his season's been disrupted. We're stealing the lives of our youth, our young people. This has never happened before.
Yeah.
We don't have the right to do that. I'm a baby boomer. I had my youth. I mean, when I was 10, we had a flu that was about this bad. Nobody even mentioned it. It was Woodstock that year. So we can't steal, we can't shut down society over this, and it hasn't worked anyway. In the brief that you helped fund, we pointed out there's no evidence that the lockdown is
zero.
New York locked down the most, and we've got the most deaths.
Jim, it seems to have made it worse, and Andrew Cuomo just can't figure this out. He's like, I'm shocked that 7 out of 10 people that got it stayed in their homes. They hid. They wore their mask. I can't figure this out. Now he's shocked again. He goes, you know what? This is amazing. We opened the economy, and the numbers got better. Wow, who said that would happen? Oh, yeah, we did. We did. You know why? Because other places opened, and things got better. Hiding from it made it worse. Pretty easy to see. I think we can make the argument that they made it worse, not better.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely made it worse. I mean, Sweden, you know, they do have some deaths over there. It was probably due to mismanagement of the nursing homes as in New York. But right now, basically the problems disappeared there.
Yeah.
And they're going on with their lives.
Well, but to be fair, Sweden had like, I don't know what I say, 5 or 10 million deaths this week for 10 million people, right?
Yeah.
So let's say it's 10. I'm just going to assume that I think it was actually lower than that. But it's still less than a third of New York, right?
It was
and
one
they didn't
third
do any lockdowns.
That's
they did
right.
none of that stuff. So, yeah. Well, Jim, where do we go from here? Are we going to do updates on a regular basis? Or what's the, I guess we just wait until we get our hearing. What's the time frame?
Well, there's no particular timeline, but I know the court realizes that this is an emergency application. We have a motion for a preliminary injunction pending and probably going to update our papers on the injunction because the facts on the ground are changing rapidly. The evidence is showing that the lockdowns didn't work and that we can open up, that the mask requirement is not necessary. If people want to wear them, fine. If not, that's fine, too. So we're going to try to amend our papers with the permission of the court. But I think the judge, Judge Siragusa, knows that this is urgent. And hopefully we win. If we lose, we go right to the Second Circuit very quickly.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you spending some time with us today. We'll definitely be bringing you updates in the future.
Let me say this, Jim. Thank God bless you for what you're doing, too. I mean, I know we're funding some of this stuff, but you're doing a lot of this stuff on your own. And, you know, we're a help agent, but boy, this is really on you, man. And God bless you for stepping up.
Thank you, Jim. That's Jim Ostrowski.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Jim Ostrowski, we'll be right back. Don't turn the dial. The Financial Guys Radio Network comes right back.
Forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free at 800-616-WBEN. And cell calls are free at *930.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Jam-packed show today. Sorry we're just not able to get to the phone calls. I know we want to every week, and again, this week, we just have so many people we're trying to get on the air. I just think it's so important for us to highlight people like Tony Oliva, the Jim Ostrowski lawsuit, and we're going to hear from yet another business owner later in the show yet still. And again, folks, we're trying to fund these things to allow New York State to reopen, to really fight for all of us, right? It's not, our business is doing fine, but there's a lot of our clients' businesses that aren't doing fine. There's a lot of people out there suffering, and we want that to change.
We're going to continue to keep you posted and updated on the breaking news of us helping Jim Ostrowski sue the Cuomo administration. And, you know, the government cannot rule by decree, and the governor, I should say, cannot rule by decree. And that's what we're fighting for. So we will keep everybody posted on that breaking news and the time frame of what's happening. Before we get to Todd, did you see this? Somebody solicited us this week on how to strategically address Black Lives Matter, white privilege, and unconscious bias in the workplace. It's about more than training and policies. So they want us to pay a few hundred
what
bucks.
What is it about? Is it about giving money away? I mean, what is it?
We're going to apparently we can get on demand a DVD, an e-transcript of it, a web download. I'm thinking about here's how we address Black Lives Matters and white privilege in our office. Do your job. We don't really care what color your skin is. I don't care how tall or short you are. And I don't care if you're black or white. If you're not doing your job, we're going to fire you. If you're doing your job, we're going to promote you, and we're going to grow with you inside the organization, and we're going to help train and help
doesn't
give
matter
you
what sex you
I
are,
don't care if
you,
yeah and by doesn't the way matter. You can come right into our office. We have everybody in our office, right? And by the way, the females tend to run the stuff. That's just the way it happens in our office, right? There's no secret that Sue's the real
thank
boss
God,
and it goes down
we
from
are
there.
I mean, good thing, because you know, we are not the most organized when it comes to keeping track of things,
and that's just the way it falls. I'm sorry, folks, that's the way it falls in our office. The women run it. However, if Sue was a man, she'd probably run it too, right? We don't care. Our strategy is, I don't care the color of your skin. Do your job. Work hard. Be nice to other people.
And you'll get ahead.
Right, and you'll get ahead. That's right. Exactly. That's our DVD. If you want it, I'll give you it.
Our DVD. That's our self-help DVD for today, folks.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. We'll give it to you for free. We won't charge you. What did they say? $50 off? What was that? What was the thing?
$50 like off is what they were going to give
How
us.
How much does this cost?
Some of the packages range from $199 all the way up to $349.
Yeah. Do you get a special sticker you can put on your window that says, I support BLM?
$349, you get the demand, on-demand DVD, and the transcript itself.
Did you see the building in Kenosha that was on fire that had on their billboard, their sign in front of their
supporting
business?
Supporting Black Lives Matter.
We support Black Lives Matter as their facility burns.
right.
Yeah. Guess what, folks? It doesn't work.
No.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. This is about you heard them in their own words.
Yeah.
This is about tearing down, not just abolishing the police, but America as we know it. Yeah. That's what she said. That's what the leadership of BLM and Antifa wants. Yeah. They want the abolition of capitalism, folks.
And it's
capitalism
together, by the way.
That has lifted millions, billions of people literally around the world out of poverty, right?
Yeah.
We want to abolish that. Yeah. And
BLM
back to
and
what?
Antifa exactly. are one now, right?
Yes,
they're unified. And by the way, it is white, young white, typically females, but some males that are the ones throwing in the mocktail cocktails into the building.
And these are hired actors. I saw an ad for, I think it was in Atlanta or somewhere, literally an ad, a Craigsbook ad there, or whatever, it's Craigslist. What is it, Craigsbook? No, Facebook, Craigslist. So anyway, ad that was literally advertising for, quote, actors to be paid $15 an hour to carry signs and throw bricks through windows. I added the bricks through windows. They didn't actually have that in the ad. But they did have actors to carry signs.
Disgusting.
So basically they're hiring. They're paying these protesters $15 an hour to go out there and you know, and this is George Soros funded. Yep. This is the Clinton Foundation
likely funded.
All going to
backfire on the Democrats, by the way.
Their cities are the ones that are burning.
Yep.
Their businesses are the ones that are burning. Their cities, sadly, not all their businesses, but some are Democrat-run businesses are burning to the ground.
That's
It's not like you have a sign in your door, hey, I'm Democrat-run business. They had the BLM sign. Didn't protect the dealership at all or whatever
it was.
Here's
how
it's
backfiring. Forget about color, right? Black, white, red. Americans are sick of this for the most part.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Americans. Forget it. Yeah. I don't care if you're black or you're white. Americans are sick and tired of this. And Americans will stand up in November and vote Donald Trump in, hands down. And those Americans will be black and those Americans will be white. But those Americans will vote Donald Trump back in a landslide. And you've already got the Democrat Party. You're already seeing Hillary going back. Don't you leave. No, you kick him out of the White House. I don't care if he wins or not. Wow. Whatever happened to that peaceful transfer thing we used to talk about, right?
And I got to tell you, folks, show up at the polls. Yeah. Don't mail in your ballot because what I'm seeing, and Tony actually gave this to me, on his ballot, there's a bunch of numbers. One of the numbers follows with an R. He's a registered Republican.
Yeah.
So what the claims are, I don't know what the R means, but what the claims are is that, hey, that R designates that to the postal folks that's a Republican ballot, and to throw that in the garbage, right?
Unreal.
So I don't know how true that is. I'm looking at the ballot, though. I'm holding it. He gave it to me. I'm looking at it, holding it. It has an R on it. again, I don't know what that R means, if it's Republican or not, but I'd have to find someone that's a Democrat and ask for their mail-in ballot. At least one of them.
If you could send in one of your Democrats out there, when you get your mail-in ballot, don't send them all to us, just one.
Just the one of them. Yeah, not the dead cat that was dead for 12 years. No, just the one.
Your Aunt Mary who passed away 16 years ago. Not that one. Send the one in that, you know, yours. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's go on to our special guest here for this segment. Todd Aichinger joins us every couple of weeks or so to highlight some different houses around the area. Thank goodness that real estate is still halfway decent in Western New York, although for how long we don't know.
Well, here's the thing, things are good so far, and again, there's always spots of brightness in socialism, right? There's going to be winners and losers. The losers will be more, right? So, and I said this months ago, by the way, I said, watch and see, the Buffalo real estate market might actually benefit from this because you're going to see so many people leaving New York City, right? Mm-hmm. Now, those people, now, is New York going to benefit as a whole? No, absolutely not. Look at California, right? There's some houses that are $20 million there that you could buy for $500,000 in Buffalo, New York, right? Why are they $20 million? Well, because the gap between the rich and the poor got bigger and bigger, more poor people, bigger, larger demographically, geographically larger areas that are poor, right? But the wealthy get wealthier, right? So you may see people flee. You're already seeing it like Long Island. The property values are going up like crazy out there. Yeah. Why? Because people are leaving the city in masses, right? Mm-hmm. So what's going on, Todd, in the great city of Buffalo? Are we lost?
Well, I don't even know how to jump in from there. You know, you guys just, you know, our sales are great. I'm personally on my third month in a row of $1 million plus in sales. So in the last 3 months, I've done $4 million in sales. So the Buffalo market is a good market. There's no doubt about it right now.
Where are you seeing the activity mainly? Are you seeing the suburbs? I mean, is downtown even still interesting at all? Or are you mainly dealing in like the Alden, the Akron, the Clarence areas?
I am not seeing as much in the city. I've got one in Wales on 3 acres I just pulled up this week. I have in 4 days, I think 10 or 12 showings already. I can't even imagine what my open house is going to be like on Sunday. So, let's see.
Can you do open houses now? Are we back to open houses?
Are you allowed to do? Yeah.
Yeah, I put them in a bubble. I roll them around like a hamster in a wheel.
Don't even say that, because that's next, guys. That's what they'll recommend.
Don't give them ideas. So the hazmat suit. Yeah.
A couple of shots, and that'll be like the newest sport. So we're okay.
Yeah, could be. Hilarious.
In Amherst, I just got another listing, two-story. It's actually set up like an upper-lower, even though it's a single family. I've got a ton of showings and interest on that. West Seneca, I've got a house. And, again, my business personally isn't directing into the city, but I don't want to say the city isn't hot. It's just what I have cultivated is not in the city, and it's not on purpose, because I've gone down from Chautauqua Lake to Lake Ontario to Canisius Lake to sell, so I don't have a set area, but the city just is not doing what the burbs are right now.
Yeah. So you've got one in Amherst, one in Wales, 3-point-something acres. That's pretty neat, huh?
Yeah, that's a great property. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath ranch with a pool. Heck of a view, 10 minutes from the village of East Aurora, 30 minutes to the city of Buffalo. Perfect. That's a great property.
Yeah. Just outside the protesters, so just out of arm's reach. Todd, how do folks get a hold of you if they need to get a hold of you?
716-912-8684, or as you guys know, gotoddy.com.
GoToddy.com. All right, thank you so much, Todd.
912-8684 if you're looking for Todd. And Todd will feature your house on here. So talk about a way to hopefully pick up sales for sure. So 912-8684. Thanks, Todd.
Todd, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet, gentlemen. Don't behave. It's overrated.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a very short break, folks. We'll be right back with our final special guest. Don't turn it down. You've got the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN. and cell calls are free at star 930.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, live here on the Financial Guys Radio Network. Final segment, and I didn't get to a lot of money today. I mean, did mention some economic stuff, some unemployment figures. If you do need us throughout the week, folks, use us as a resource. You can reach us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-346-4897. Or, of course, you can always go to our website at thefinancialguys.com. All kinds of different departments to help you. We are truly a one-stop financial shop. It's funny, Mike, I was talking to a client this week, a new client, and going through our CFO checklist. You know, we have a process that we go through in our office that we've refined over the really last 20 years or so. And kind of the follow-up process is that first meeting after the initial accounts are open and invested. We're kind of going down our checklist to make sure everything's over properly, it's invested properly, it's in the right model and everything else. And I get to the second half, we're just talking about our different services. And like we can, if you need help with your, you know, helping a home and auto, we can help you there. If you need help with health insurance, I know you're thinking about switching companies and so on and so forth. He goes, wow, you guys really are a one-stop financial shop. This is great. I'm like, oh, man. His name is also Tony. I'm like, I wish I had that I wish I could use that as a testimonial. I had it on. But we truly are, folks. We can help you with your Medicare, your health insurance, your life insurance, retirement planning, your Social Security income analysis. Yep. You know, as Mike Hayflick always says, people go through whole lives accumulating their assets. But when it's time to retire, you need an income specialist. We have those staff at our company.
And let me say this, all certified, right? We didn't just throw people together and say, hey, you should do this department. All certified experts, whether it's certified Medicare experts, certified Social Security claiming strategists, certified divorce financial analysts, certified college planning experts. So can help with certified experts for sure.
833-FIN-GUYS, and again, thefinancialguys.com. All right, our special guest for this segment, and we really do appreciate you guys taking time. As you, as everybody knows, we mentioned earlier, we're trying to highlight a different Western New York business each and every week and, you know, get them some publicity and try to help them get reopened, if at all possible, or even highlight some of the tyranny that they're facing. This week, we're talking to Scott and Tammy Traitline, who owns Spotlight Theater of Warsaw and Hornell. And of course, as you know, theaters as well as gyms have been the hardest hit because they've been unable to really open. They're the kind of the last to open here. Wanted to get you guys on the air and have an opportunity to kind of hear what you guys are going through and really how you're hanging in there. So thanks so much for Scott and Tammy for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us.
So let me start off with, you guys are still not open, right? I don't think theaters are, I don't know, is there any talk about when that might be? I know gyms, they are starting to discuss it, or I think they're, are they open now, Mike, gyms, or not quite yet?
Gyms are open, but you need to have a mask to work out. So that works out really well when you're running a treadmill.
Trying to breathe.
Yeah. So have they, Scott and Tammy, have they given you any type of time frame as to when they think you can open? And I'm going to say this out of my mouth, not yours. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. First of all, we've said from day one, you don't shut down anything. You quarantine sick people, not healthy people. But when I look at what the governor's done, I just can't figure out why you can walk into a Walmart but you can't sit next to your significant other and watch a movie, right? I can't go out and watch a movie with my wife. I have to. I can do it in the house, and we sit on the couch together. So, but apparently, in a movie theater, I might spit on her or somebody in front of me. I just can't, for the life of me, figure it out. So, have they given you any time frame? And have they? Has any of the local leadership stood up and said why you're a target and not Walmart, or why you're a target and not some other industry?
They've given us no timeline, and I don't think any of the local leadership understands it either. The majority of the local leadership has actually stood behind us and wrote letters on behalf of all the movie theaters in their districts to say that they don't agree with what's going on. The best time frame we got was we held a press conference with our regional organization last Thursday, and one of the news segments got a 10-second clip from Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul saying she had talked to the governor's office and we'd get an answer soon. And well, soon. We don't know what soon means in their timetable.
Yeah, that's good.
Because we've heard nothing since.
Gives you an opportunity to start planning when you hear soon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me about the finances, if we can. Like, you know, obviously running a business is not free, right? And so when you have no revenue coming in, expenses still go on, right? So, you know, what are you guys dealing with when it comes to trying to just keep your head above water here when it comes to these businesses?
Well, at the moment, as you can well imagine, 100% of our income comes from customers coming in. And if we're not allowed to show movies to customers, we have no income. So you're right. It's been extremely difficult financially to stay afloat. And the best we can do and have done so far is pare down expenses as much as possible and turning off as much electricity use as possible, shutting off all the water to make sure we're not using that, and small things like that. But that doesn't help a large majority of us. The movie industry has become so expensive with amenities, with seats that everyone wants to sit in, and the expensive projector. Everything costs a lot of money. Most theaters, especially smaller theaters, have debt to provide all these services, and those debts are still due. So it's been extremely difficult. And for us personally, we're fortunate that the theaters are not our primary business, and we can supplement with our regular income for some of the shortfalls. Yeah. But a lot of our colleagues, this is their livelihood, and right. I don't know what they're doing, to be honest.
Well, and I would assume even if it is a second business, there's only so long you can float a negative business, right? I mean, you can't just say,
shut me down
for 20 years, and I'll just sit here and float it. Have they given you any reason? Has there been any, like when you talk to Kathy Hochul, is there any, does she say why they're targeting you and not Walmart?
No.
And they don't. And I have written the governor's office personally prior to the pest conferences that our regional organization started mounting in the last 2 weeks and got no response other than we assure you we got your email and the right person will look at it. I tried to call Lieutenant Governor Hochul's office this morning prior to our call in to you, and they won't even, you have to call a separate line if you're calling regarding COVID or small business questions. You can't even leave a message on their voicemail. Hmm.
It's like wholesalers. I call our office, Mike. They go right to voicemail.
Right to voicemail. Yeah, they don't want to help you. Yeah. They don't want to help you. It's sad because the local leadership is really, really totally inept, right? I mean, and I'll say that, not you, so I'm not putting words in your mouth.
At least for them, though, they're out in Warsaw, so they're out of Erie County, right?
Yeah.
So the good news for you guys is that you don't have to deal with the lunacy that is Mark Poloncarz, right?
Right. But still, at some point, when does your leadership step up and say, enough is enough, we're not listening to you, Andrew, and we're opening up, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is the local folks have control as to who comes in and shuts you down, right? They're not going to drive from New York City to Warsaw to shut you down. So that local leadership can step up, have a set of stones, and say enough is enough. I assure you, if I'm the county executive of Erie County, we're open. We're open. Yeah. And I'm telling you, come down, Andrew, and we'll have
We're certainly not harassing businesses, right?
No,
we're not
going to
sending in.
No.
Look, we have budget shortfalls and huge deficits, right? Again, I will remind everybody, when they start talking about shutting down parks and cutting teachers and police officers,
that's where it's going.
Remember who they kept paying, folks.
That's right.
Remember how important it was to have, you know, liquor authority on steroids. Remember that. Anyway, how long do you guys hang in there, Scott and Tammy? I mean, at some point, right, you said you're not your primary business, right? At what point do you just say, okay, enough is enough, I throw in the towel? I mean, do you have leases on these properties that you have to fulfill? Do you own the buildings, or, you know, are you obligated long term?
We own both buildings. So our biggest problem is coming due. So we were, I guess, if you can say, fortunate enough that at the beginning of this whole CARES Act thing, we had SBA loans to buy all the new equipment to reopen these two closed only movie theaters of their kind in each individual county. There were no other active movie theaters and a place for community to come together. We have events at the schools run through there and local other local organizations, but at a high price of an SBA loan. The SBA loan payments were covered for a couple of months through the CARES Act, but we're at the point now that after this month, we have $5,000 coming due every month going forward. And I don't see how, if we don't get open by the end of the year, how we're ever going to, I don't have $5,000 a month in my personal life for me and my husband to throw at a movie theater, whether or not it's the focal point. The whole point of this was we did this as a community service to the communities they're in. They asked us to open them, and we were proud to do it, and we were happy to do it, and that was our whole point. But at some point, I can't bankrupt my whole family and my four children for a community service endeavor because the government decides I can't open.
Right.
Yeah. Sad.
It's frustrating.
Is anything open where some of our listeners could come out and buy popcorn or something? I know some of the I know it's certainly not going to pay all the bills, but is there anything open that I know a lot of our folks think like us, conservative thinking, they're willing to help? So
we did that at first, and it was very helpful. It helped with the small things, like covering the utility bills and things. And but like most things, the novelty wears off a bit. And now that other things are open, people are starting to get to go out to restaurants and other things. So it kind of dried up to a point that it really wasn't worth the man-hour time to do it.
That's got to be so frustrating. I mean, again, you can all go to a restaurant now, right? You can pack into a restaurant, right? You can have 50% capacity in restaurants, but only 50 people at weddings and zero people at movie theaters. There's no logic at all behind this. And I got to imagine it's just got to be incredibly frustrating for you guys to just, you know, watch, you know, the restaurant. And again, being the last one to be open is got to be the worst because, as you said, people are looking and starting to do other things, not your thing, because they can't, right?
Well, it is. And by normal job trade, I'm a physician. So a lot of my life is scientist-based and evidence-based. And I'm pretty good at statistics and reading studies and making judgments like that. And you said it 100%. A lot of this is somewhat arbitrary or extremely arbitrary and made up. The governor's first statements last couple weeks ago explaining why he was waiting on movie theaters included like three incorrect assertions as to why. The biggest one, there's only one ventilation system for the whole building. I think that's a big risk. And our agency, the Theater Association, came quickly out and said, that's not true at all. Almost every theater has individual ventilation systems for each auditorium. So it just goes to show that basing sweeping judgments that are crippling people on false information or made up facts. Which is
what they've been doing from the get-go, right? He's been using, quote, look at the science until the science doesn't help with locking people in their homes wearing masks.
Right.
And then the science is no good anymore, right? The fact of the matter is, and we've been saying this from day one, the numbers are BS. And they're way, way, way off. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say, well, Mike, 170,000 people died of COVID. No, 170,000 people died with COVID, not of COVID. And we'll never know how many people died of COVID. But we know a lot of people died with COVID, and they didn't die of COVID. We know that for a fact. We've had doctor after doctor come on this show and our podcast and say, yep, motorcycle accident, marked him down as COVID. Cancer, marked him down as COVID, right?
Sure.
Heroin overdose, marked him down as COVID. Gunshot victim, marked him down as COVID, right?
Yep.
So we know 170,000 people died with COVID, not of COVID. That's a big, big difference. And all this stuff, ruining your movie theater, ruining these, destroying these restaurants, we were told it was all to not overwhelm the healthcare system. The minute we knew we didn't overwhelm
just
the healthcare system, we could go back to work.
Just
right?
2 weeks. It's been 5 months. We got about a minute left
here,
guys.
All right, let's take a break. Could you stick with us? Because I want to ask.
No. Well, this is the last segment, Mike. We're done.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
We're out.
Real quickly, is there a point where you guys just say we're going to open up, forget all the officials, and just do it?
If our local health department says it's okay, yes.
God bless you. God bless you, because you guys got a lot more patience than me. I'd be open. I'll tell you this. You call us back if you are going to open. We would love to try to go out there and do a live podcast and really help promote, get people there. I know our listeners will help you out. The minute you can open, let's plug it on here. We'll fill your movie theaters for sure.
Well, we'll do that. It'd be great.
Okay. Scott and Tammy, Traitline, thank you so
keep
much. Spotlight
God
Theater,
you.
We appreciate it. All right, folks, that's going to do
it
for us. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. If you need us throughout the week, again, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-346-4897. Of course, locally, 633-1515. You can always go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We are The Financial Guys, and we'll see you next week right here on The Financial Guys Radio Network.